around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday, and I pray that God's goodness and mercy and grace has touched you in a very special way. Amen. You know, if you really love the Lord, you love His Word. You can't get enough of His Word. You have a hunger and a thirst that is so voracious that all you can get, you want to get. Not being selfish, not being stingy, not being self-serving or self-centered, but wanting to know more about the Lord. There's nothing like communing and fellowshipping with God. We've all heard the story of Enoch, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that great that we can please God? We can get so close, so intimate, commune with him to such a degree, it pleases him. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God does reward diligent seekers. He does bless. He does reward. He does open up his cup and fountain of blessings upon the redeemed. Why? Because they love him, and they hunger, and they thirst for his righteousness. Amen. And he has such a vast supply, such a vast, voluminous supply of whatever you have need of. There are no shortages in the kingdom of God. There are no chain reactions that cause a broken supply system. God has everything that his people need. All we have to do is pursue him with all of our hearts. I want to play an old song today. Many of you have heard it through the years. "There is a River." Bill Gaither and his group are singing it. I pray there's a river that flows through you today. Jesus said in John 7:38, "He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen.
Lord, just drink this water.
A river that never shall run dry. How can you exhaust the fountain of life, the eternal fountain of life? That's who Christ is. He told the woman at the well, you drink of this well, Jacob's well, you'll thirst again. He said, but if you drink of the fountain of living water, which I am, he said, you'll never, ever thirst again. She forgot her water pots. The Bible says there in John chapter 4, and she ran back into the city, and she said, come see a man. Come encounter this man. This man knows everything. He told me all about my life, which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer? That encounter with Christ filled every void, every vacuity, every measure of emptiness in her life. That encounter filled the void. Thus, she was so elated, so excited, she forgot her water pots, went back into town. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? I want to go back today to Isaiah chapter 3. We're still here on verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. It is amazing in that Bible prophecy tells us in the time of the end, children would oppress humanity and women would rule over the populace. As I said yesterday, the spirit of Jezebel is destructive. It is corrupt. It damages everything that it touches. Why? Because the author of that spirit is Satan. Seeds of rebellion are being sown and have been sown and time passed here in America. As United States citizens, I don't believe we perceive the depth, the breadth, and the gravity of the seeds of rebellion that have been sown in this nation. When you have leaders, the president, the vice president, the United States Supreme Court, both houses, these people are corrupt, dishonest, unjust, they lie, they cheat, they're bought, they're sold like chattel. Because of this voluminous amounts of wickedness, through the years, we're now beginning to reap the crud. We're reaping the crud of wicked leadership and the earth. Rebellion, children oppressing, women lording and ruling over humanity. These are the seeds of Satan. Remember the 13th chapter of Matthew that we taught probably a year or better ago now? The wheat and the tares. Jesus sowed the wheat, but the enemy came in and he sowed the tares among the wheat. And when the tares began to come up, the disciples said, "Lord, who did this?" Jesus said, "The enemy hath done this." He was speaking of Satan. It was Satan that corrupted and sowed into the wheat field to pervert, to distort, and destroy the true wheat of God, which are the redeemed. As I shared with you, it's called the bastard wheat, darnel, it's black. And what that tare does, it tries to weave its root system around the roots of the wheat and usurp the nourishment, the nutrition that the wheat needs. And that's why Jesus said, you can't pull up the tares, because if you attempt to do that, you will pull up the good wheat. You'll jerk it out. You'll pull it up. Wait until the time of the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will send my angels, and they shall sever the wheat from the tares. The wheat will be put into the garner, the barn. You might say the tabernacle of God. The tares will be gathered. They will be bundled. And they will be burned. They will be burned because they are of their father, the devil. Jesus said, the enemy hath done this. Paul indirectly refers to this scenario in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Antichrist that opposes that which is godly and righteous. And that spirit worketh in the children of disobedient. These are not disobedient children, but the children of disobedience. Let me say that again. These are not disobedient children. They are the children of disobedience. They are the tares. They have been birthed. They have been born because of absolute utter disobedience. You and I have been disobedient at times. We didn't wholly or fully or completely obey the Lord. But that did not make us children of disobedience. That just made us disobedient children. It's like a child. The parent says to do something and they don't do it. That's disobedience. But as the parent, you're not a disobedient parent. Thus, therefore, your children are not children of disobedience. They have just disobeyed what they were told to do. As Christians, sometimes we don't wholly and fully obey the Lord. But that does not make us utter rebels like we are witnessing in the earth today. That was the great argumentation in John chapter 8 when the disciples, the Pharisees were saying they were Abraham's seed. They said, we are not the children. We're not the seed of fornication. We're Abraham's children. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, biologically, physically, but he said, you're of your father, the devil. See, they were children of utter disobedience. They were not just disobedient children. Their lineage, their background was of Satan. This is why I believe one of the great misunderstandings in Judaism and Jewry, Jewish people, you have the literal physical promised seed of Isaac, and then you have those like Ishmael, who was not the promised seed. Even though they were biologically the seed of Abraham, they were not the promised seed. You'll understand that if you can understand Romans chapter 9. Isaac was the promised seed. Ishmael was not the promised seed, but nevertheless, he remained the seed of Abraham. And I believe the Pharisees that were contending with Christ there in John chapter 8 were Ishmaelites. They were of the seed of Hagar that Abraham had a relationship with. And she birthed Ishmaelites. She birthed Ishmael. But Ishmael was never the promised seed. And so Jesus said there in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Did you know the only thing Satan can utter and speak when he opens his mouth is lies? Why do we say that? Jesus said there is no truth in him. I made the statement about 2-3 weeks ago. Deception is going to grow so exponentially, it is going to be hard for people to know what is truth and what is a lie. As we witness the proliferation of artificial intelligence, people are going to be listened to who they think is a particular person, but it will not be. We've been working with Spectrum Cable here in our state, the state of North Carolina. And I had a meeting with the lady the other day, Wesley and I, at their office in Hickory. And she typed in my name, our website, a couple other things, and they designed a commercial, a 30-second commercial, and it was all artificial intelligence. The music, the voiceover, everything was artificial. None of it was real. Nobody sat down and said thus and thus and thus. You know, when I prepare teachings, I have a thorough outline. I want to be thorough when I expound the scriptures. But that computer, that artificial intelligence, was able to go to our website, glean, gather information, and create a commercial for us. And I'm sitting there watching this, and this is the deception. This is the duplicity that is entering into the earth and into the world. And so when you read Revelation chapter 13, the false prophet is going to give life unto the image, going to give life unto the idol. Remember that. I talk about all of this in my book, Revelation chapter 13, Revealed. The false prophet is going to coerce people in the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Make an image to the beast. And then what happens? The false prophet has power to give life. The word life there in the Greek literally means breath. He had power to give breath unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This artificial intelligence is going to take on the nature of humanity, human reasoning. This is why there's fear and there is anxiety from people like Elon Musk. It was either 2018, 2019 now, when I had a meeting here in Hickory, North Carolina. It was entitled The Age of Deception. And Hugo de Garis came and spake at our meeting. I took him in a back room. We videoed it, and we talked about it. He did a much better job in the back room than he did when he was speaking for the conference. I think he had jet lag, being from Australia. And when you're traveling that far of a distance, you have jet lag, and you're doing great. All of a sudden, you have a down day when you get to your destination, and you're just kind of bottomed out, and you're waiting to go back up. And I think the day he spoke for us, he was on his down cycle instead of up. But when I got him off the stage behind the room back there, we videoed it. I may put that up here in the very near future, if I already haven't, by the time you hear this, of our conversation. He was talking about how the human brain operates on chemicals, but how the computer operates on chips. And the smaller the chips get, the faster they can work. The smaller they get, the cooler they work. It takes less energy. But the human brain operates solely on chemicals. If you need dopamine, adrenaline, whatever, when the situation arises, the brain tells the body what to induce into the bloodstream. And so you act through the chemicals that are put into your body, whatever the need might be in the natural. But he was talking about how as these things become quicker, faster, sharper, at that time, again, that would be 4 or 5 years ago, on a scale of 1 to 10, if the human mind was at 10, he said artificial intelligence was at a 7 to 8. And so they're learning. This has become a living organism, yet it's artificial. The danger is it's going to try to emulate human reasoning, feelings, emotions, but it is not real. They're already making music and songs that you think it's that particular group. You think that's who's really singing the song or who was inspired to write the song, but it's not true. It is deception. It is duplicity. As I said a couple weeks ago, deception is going to be so tantamount in the earth, it's going to be hard to know the truth from a lie. This is where we're going. And I've said for years, Satan's greatest tool will be deception. This is why we're told in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. For many false prophets are going out into the world. Most of you understood when Barack and Sane Obama said, you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. You like your health care, you keep your health care. Most spirit-filled Christians understood that was going to be a lie. They just knew in their heart that was not the truth. And so it was. There is no institution more deceptive and more destructive than the United States government. It is built on absolute deception. Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They are legion. They are plethora in the earth telling you, oh, Jesus is the Christ, but they don't serve him. They don't love him. He's just a figure, an imagination, an imagery, something illusory in their own minds. But they don't have the dedication. They don't possess the consecration. They don't possess the separation. They don't live it. They don't walk it. They don't fellowship with God. This is why you need pure, unadulterated Bible in your life. The Word of God, having a place of residence in you, counteracts the lies, the falsehoods, the fallacies, the mendacities that come against you. And it's all in the church. It's all in the church. There are times I'm tempted to share things with you, video, audio, of other people that you think are saints of God. You think they're great. I get your emails. You embrace them. You endorse them. But what you don't know is they're always telling things that are not true. The one gentleman some months ago said, we get to heaven, Jesus is going to introduce us to all his brethren, the angels. No angel is the brother of God. That is Satanism. There have been those who've tried to say Lucifer was Jesus' brother. Jesus has always been God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Satan was not in the beginning. Lucifer was not in the beginning. Somewhere in eons past, God, Jesus, created those entities. They're not brothers. And if I were to say the name, some of you would be embarrassed that you have embraced these people. You've embraced their teachings. Listen, Satan is a master at sowing a little leaven into your life so that the whole lump becomes leavened. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You put yeast into dough, you can't see its reaction with the natural eye. But put a camera on it, a time camera, and take pictures every so many seconds or every so many minutes. You can see the dough as it begins to rise because the yeast is in it. And that yeast has filled the entirety of the lump of dough. So it's all been infected. And there are those who will give you just enough truth. And that was the prophecy by Stanley Frodsham. Gave this prophecy back in 1965. That deceiving spirits would be so off the charts, it would be unbelievable. He said, there shall come deceivers among my people, increasing numbers. They will speak forth the truth and shall gain the favor of the people. For the people shall examine the scriptures and say, what these men say is true. Then when they have gained the hearts of the people, then, and then only, shall they bring out their wrong doctrines. Therefore I say that you should not give your hearts to men, nor hold people's persons in admiration or adulation. For by these very persons, Satan shall gain entry into my people. Watch for seducers. Do you think a seducer will brandish a heresy and flaunt it before the people? He will speak words of righteousness and truth and will appear as a minister of light, declaring the word. The people's hearts shall be won. Then, when the hearts are won, they will bring out their doctrines, and the people shall be deceived. They shall say, did he not speak thus and thus? And did we not examine it from the word? Therefore, he is a minister of righteousness. This that he has now spoken, we do not see in the word. But it must be right, for the other things he spoke were true. Be not deceived, for the deceiver will first work to gain the hearts of many. and then shall bring forth his insidious doctrines. You cannot discern those who are of me and those who are not of me when they start to preach. But seek me constantly, and when these doctrines are brought out, you shall have a witness in your heart that these are not of me. Fear not, for I have warned you. It is possible that the very elect may be deceived. But it is not possible if you walk in holiness and uprightness before the Lord. For then your eyes shall be open, and the Lord will protect you. If you will constantly look unto the Lord, you will know when the doctrine changes and will not be brought into it. If your heart is right, I will keep you. If you will look constantly to me, I will uphold you. The minister of righteousness shall be on this wise. His life shall agree with the word. His lips that give forth that which is wholly true, there will be no mixture. When the mixture appears, then you will know he is not a minister of righteousness. The deceivers speak first the truth, and then the error, to cover their own sins, which they love. Therefore, I exhort you and command you to study the scriptures relative to seducing spirits, for this is one of the great dangers of these last days. I desire you to be firmly established in my word, and not in the personalities of men, that you will not be moved as so many shall be moved. I would keep you in the paths of righteousness. Take heed to yourselves, and follow not the seducing spirits that are already manifesting themselves. Diligently inquire of me when you hear something that you have not seen in his word. And do not hold people's persons in admiration, for it is by this very method that Satan will hold many of my people. That was a prophecy, just a portion of it, not all of it, it's about five pages long, that Stanley Frodsham gave in 1965. He was a close friend to Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of God. You see, there are those in our midst who say they're Christians, but they curse like sailors. They lie. They cheat. They're dishonest. They manipulate. They shake people down. They're money hungry. They hustle. They seek to subdue your mind and subdue your pocketbook. They're in it for all the wrong reasons. You know why I'm in the ministry? Do you know why I am in the ministry? I am in the ministry because I was called. This was not something that I chose. I did not wake up one day and say, I want to be a minister. No, I had an encounter with God at 12 years of age, and God said, I have a work for you to do. I cannot take you to heaven yet. You must proclaim my word. As I read and study most men of God, they run from God. Jonah ran from God. Moses ran from God. Paul the Apostle ran from God. Most men run from God. Why? They don't want to surrender the entirety of their life to God. You see, as a true minister, you can't be half in and half out. You see, God does not make mistakes when he calls men. The mistakes are made when men are self-appointed and self-anointed and self-proclamation. When God touches someone's life, they are different for a reason. When Samuel stood up all of Jesse's sons, he would say in his heart, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Holy Spirit would say, no, 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 no. None of these are my servant. It was baffling. It was somewhat confusing. It was beleaguering the mind of Samuel. Thus he says to Jesse, do you have any more sons Because I don't get a witness of the Holy Ghost. Any of these boys standing here are the one that God has chosen. And Jesse says, well, I got one son, 12, 14 years old. He's down tending the sheep. Samuel said, go get him. And when they brought David into the house of Jesse, the Holy Ghost said, he is the one. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. And from that moment in time, David had a bullseye on his life. He was a target. And Satan sought to destroy him. Even when Goliath rose up, and all of Israel and Israel's armies were afraid and fearful of this giant. Not David. But when David went to inquire and said to his brothers and those around him, is there not a cause? David's oldest brother ridiculed him, castigated him. He said, I know you little smart punk. I know your pride. You come down here just to get nosy. I'm paraphrasing there. David said, is there not a cause? See, his brothers castigated him. You know why? Because David was different. David had a touch of God on his life, and God made that difference. God made that touch. God is the one that touched his life, and he was a different man. He was a different being. Some of you understand what I'm saying. Some of you won't understand it. David took down Goliath because God was with him. David never saw himself better. Any God-called man should never look at himself as being better than anyone. The difference is the touch of God on a person's life. That's what makes the individual different. It's not their IQ. It's not their mentation. It's not their oratory skills. It's not their education or lack of one. It is the Holy Ghost of God on people's lives that make them different. And you have those out there today in the world who covet. They seek the touch of God. They seek fame and fortune. They seek prestige. They seek notoriety. I could care less about those things. I want to win souls for Christ. This is about reaching lost, dying, destitute people, people who have been ravaged, who have been savagely beaten, brutalized by the powers of darkness, wherein sin has ravaged and destroyed and ruined so many lives. These that I speak of have no prayer life. I said they have no prayer life. They'd rather talk about mythology and things that have no significance whatsoever in the kingdom of God. You better get your focus on your relationship with Christ. You better quit worrying about UFOs and aliens and all of this other garbage. This has nothing to do. This is deceptive spirits working in the earth. There's no other foreign creatures. Oh, there's demons. You better believe there are demons. There are entities from hell itself. But to believe there are aliens, another faction of humanity somewhere out there in Mars or Venus or Pluto or wherever. Don't fall for that stuff. It is a lie. It is seducing spirits. Do you understand the gravity of what the Apostle Paul prophesied concerning the Antichrist and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, do you understand how the deception, the duplicity, the lies, the miracles, the wonders, the signs, people are going to say, this has to be God, but it won't be God. It won't be God. It will be nothing but a lie, nothing but a falsehood, nothing but a lie. And then when those like myself say, that's not real, that's not genuine, that's not of the Lord, we'll be castigated. We'll be criticized. We'll be said, oh, you're holier than thou. You think this, you think that. Yet when Paul was writing his epistle to the church at Rome, you see, the men of God, just like the prophecy by Stanley Frodsham, these men knew through the Holy Ghost of God that others would come in. They would come in What do they come in for? They come in for to destroy the souls of people. Like I said yesterday about Hymenaeus and Philetus. Yes. Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 6 and 17 and 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." You ought to avoid all pretenders and charlatans. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Trickery, chicanery, impostors, duplicitous, liars. They come in subtly. They come in such a way to draw you away from the truth. Thus the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "Even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." You need to pray, "God, help me to receive and embrace a love for the truth." So many people today are following falsehood and fallacy and heresy. You need to pray. You need to pray that those whom you listen to are full of the Spirit of truth. You need to pray, "God, don't let me listen. Don't let me get saddled up with those who are deceptive and duplicitous. Don't let me follow those that are in that path of unrighteousness. Let me hear the voice of the Lord through those who are God called and God touched and God anointed." See, the true anointing upon God's servants never seek any glory. They never point to themselves. They constantly point you to Jesus, the Lord Christ. They constantly point you to the Word of God. They never direct you or point you to themselves. John the Baptist said it best, "I must decrease, he must increase." When you listen to a minister, how much does he talk about the Word, or how much does he talk about other things? That's one of the simplest ways to discern who you're listening to. Do they talk about Christ and his Word, or do they talk about other subject and subject matters? Where is the focus? What is the focus upon? Is it Christ, his Word? Or is it in things that are meaningless, unpurposeful, wasteful? This is how you're going to know the truth in the end. Because of immaturity and because of disobedience, you're going to see many be caught up in the tide of iniquity. You know, I'll never forget Nancy Pelosi saying, "I pray for Donald Trump, I pray for the president every day." How can you pray and talk to God and believe in murder? How do you do that? How do you sincerely commune and fellowship with the Lord and embrace abortion and murder? Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, Lois Lerner. These are Jezebels. And there are those that are Jezebels who sit on the Supreme Court as justices, and they harm our nation irreparably. The last black lady that was assigned to the Supreme Court could not identify a woman. She was asked, "Define a woman." Yet, purportedly, she's had two daughters. And you want someone adjudicating law that can't define a woman? Can you imagine the depth of that depravity? You can't define a woman? This shows you how far humanity has strayed away from simple truths. This is not rocket scientist. This is not talking about genetics and chromosomes and DNA. This is just, what is a woman? What is a man? What are the different in the characteristics? You know, Hitler, he shaved the heads of most everybody when they went into a concentration camp. He shaved the heads of women, and they used the hair of women for telescopes. Did you know that? Because a woman's hair is thicker and heavier than a man's hair, because God gave that to her, and that's her glory. But they used the human hair as a cross and a scope. It's called the cross hairs. That's where that came from. The cross hairs and a telescope on a rifle. This that Satan does is so evil. Even women's hair were used in the submarines to help submerging a submarine. Everything that Satan does, he does to distort. And there are so many differences in a woman and a man. And yet, someone who sits on the highest court in the land cannot explain the difference between a man and a woman. They're deceptive. They seduce. They reel. And they draw in people to their nets. They draw people into their own delusions. You know, it is so sad and so tragic what we have today for a United States president. It's terrible. It is sad. It is so tragic. The man can't remember from one week to the next where he's been. He can't communicate. He's told everything to do. This shows you our whole nation in general is under a spirit of seduction. We have been seduced, not all of us, but many have been seduced. It should be an outcry nationwide. This is not leadership. This is so far from leadership, it's unbelievable. There should be an outcry against the borders in America. And the church sits idly by and says nothing about world events. Say nothing about current events. Say nothing about all the sin and the chicanery that is exploding in the land. And the pulpiteers don't say one thing about it. Because they want to be liked. They want to be embraced. They want your money. They want your dollars. They want you to embrace them. They want to be popular with the people. In general, most true messengers of God are never popular with the world or religious people. Why? Because true ministry and preaching the word of God without compromise challenges the Christian and their walk with Christ. True proclaiming, the true proclamation of the word of God cuts people to where they live, cuts asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It pierces, it rebukes, it reproves, it exhorts, it corrects, it instructs. If I can get one thing into your heart, one thing into your spirit, it would be quit sinning. Stop living in any way, shape, form, or fashion in an ungodly manner, in an ungodly way. Get a hold of Christ. Get a hold of Christ and walk uprightly. Walk uprightly with the Lord. Why? If you read the messengers of the Holy Scriptures, they were constantly warning us, especially the Apostle Paul was constantly warning, like he did of Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, these men are here, and they are overthrowing the faith of some. Think about that, overthrowing the faith of some. Isn't that sad? Isn't that tragic that men have the power to overthrow people's faith? Why? Because they were not advocating, appropriating the truth of God's word. And these charlatans, these pretenders, they come in. They come in. And Paul said they would not spare the flock. They would not spare it. In other words, they would rape it, plunder it. Why? Because they're of the devil, folks. They're not of God. You know, when I tell you I'm praying for you, I got a letter from a lady just yesterday, I believe it was. Her mother's 91 years old. She moved up here into western part of North Carolina. She found the TV ministry somehow. She said, oh, I got such a witness. I've been to 4 or 5 churches, and I can't even feel the Holy Ghost, she said. Ask me to pray for her. I call her name in prayer. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul said this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. My job is to feed the church. Now listen to this unctioned word by the Holy Ghost. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They're drawing disciples unto themselves. I don't want you following me. I want you following Christ. Don't pattern your life after me. Pattern your life after Christ. Seek the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. The Word of God will show you how to live for Christ, not another man, not a religion, not a doctrine, not an ideology, but like Christ wants you to live. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. True men of God weep as they look at the condition of the church and America. Jeremiah 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Men weep. Jesus wept. Paul wept. Tears. Tears. Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Tears and temptations. Paul served the Lord and preaching to the people. And he preached without compromise. That is the difference. Oh, my people, they that lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of thy paths. There's a spirit of destruction in the earth. It is from Satan. He kills, He steals. He destroys. Some people do not realize it because they're so lost without God. They're so lost without God. They think they're on the right track. But they're emissaries, they are cohorts, they are minions of Satan himself. Their father is the devil, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. Please pray. Read your Bible. Stay in the secret place of the Most High God. Don't waste. Don't drift. If you stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you will not oscillate. You will not vacillate. You'll be like the Lord. You're not going to change. You're going to change for the good if there's change. You don't ever want to change for the worse. But if sin has a place, a resonance in your heart, you will change. If you're not careful, as Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus there in 2 Timothy 2, you'll get gangrene, canker, you'll make shipwreck. God bless you. Have a great week, what's left of it. I'll see you Monday. In the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.